Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. And it is the Weekly Worldview. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the big events of the week. And, of course, the biggest story this week is the resurrection. Of course, that's the biggest story every day. But this particular Sunday, even the heathens give lip service to the idea of the resurrection. Here at the Weekly Worldview and at the McBurney compound in general, we acknowledge and celebrate the resurrection at least every day. And I would recommend you do the same at least every day. Happy Resurrection Sunday to everyone out there. And I guess we'll start with the second biggest story of the week. I would say this is the second biggest story of the week. A judge in Texas has issued a ruling to suspend the FDA approval of the abortion pills. That's right. So this is a battle on a front that actually matters in a hot war against children where people are being murdered by the hundreds of thousands every month, 100,000 a month maybe. Certainly bigger numbers than are coming out of Ukraine, although there are probably more children killed in the womb in Ukraine than by Russian soldiers. More children murdered in the womb in Russia than by Ukrainian soldiers. I mean, like walking around people being killed by soldiers. Doesn't even compare. So this is a battle in a war that really matters. And the judge is Judge Matthew Kaczmarek, and he issued an opinion. His opinion is that the Food and Drug Administration's approval for mifepristone should be repealed. And The Guardian, where I got this story, which is a leftist, communist pile of homosexual weirdos. The Guardian. Well, all of them. I mean, where do you get the news where it's not a bunch of pile of perverts reporting on the news? I regret linking to many of these stories for fear of what I know people who click the links are about to see. Because you can't read the news online without pornography all over your screen. So and The Guardian's one of the worst. Bunch of sex perverts. They say that mifepristone, it's been approved for 23 years and consistently found to be safe and effective. So, not, I mean, it's effective at killing children. Is it safe for the people who take it? No, it's not. But, of course, what would this pile of creeps and perverts say about it? They report that in the very first footnote of his decision, Judge Kaczmarek explains why he decided to use the terms unborn human and unborn child throughout his ruling instead of embryo and fetus. And he does. He uses those terms throughout the. In fact, I can read from it. From his opinion, mifepristone will not always complete the abortion, so the FDA mandates a two-step regimen. Mifepristone to kill the unborn human, followed by mesoprostol to expel the unborn human from the mother's womb. You know, this ruling, is it a ruling? It's an opinion. It's an opinion, really. And you'll see that'll be proven shortly that this is really just an opinion. Every time a judge issues an opinion, the only thing that gives that opinion any authority is people's willingness to go along with it. But the accurate language that Judge Kaczmarek employs here is positive and good. And his opinion that the FDA approval of a drug to kill children should be repealed. That's good and positive. And the accurate language here could force many people to actually face the truth of what they're doing, and that could change their mind. And so this is a positive turn of events on many fronts. Now, the pile over at The Guardian, the pile of urinalists at The Guardian, do warn us that Judge Kaczmarek's language implying that fetuses and embryos are human, they call it a nod to the radical idea of fetal personhood, that embryos and fetuses are people entitled to protection. That presumes abortion to be murder and could lead to a national ban on the procedure. Unquote. That's a warning from the urinalists at The Guardian. We could only hope that that could be true, because the argument for personhood does assume abortion to be murder. It would lead to a national ban on the procedure, hopefully a global ban at some point on the procedure. The procedure, they call it. Just use the proper language. How about a ban on the killing of unborn children? Or, better yet, just the killing of children. Better yet, how about the killing of human beings, the killing of people? Even more accurate, we should have a ban on the murder of people. That's all. In fact, let's see. Now I've got from Dana Bash on CNN asked a communist House of Representatives, what do they call themselves? Congresswoman. She asked a communist congresswoman if she thinks the FDA should just ignore the Texas judge's ruling, and the communist said yes, the FDA should just ignore the ruling. And I'm sorry, Dana Bash didn't ask the communist. Dana Bash asked the Secretary of Health and Human Services, which is a communist title. Health and Human Services, that's what used to be Love and Families. It's now the Department of Health and Human Services. And it's headed by Javier Becerra. And Dana Bash asked him on a news show on some network, she said, well, you know, this communist over here says we should just ignore this ruling. What do you say, Secretary? And Becerra hemmed and hawed, and he said, well, we want the court to overturn this reckless decision. We want women to continue to have access to a drug that's proven itself safe. Millions of women have used this drug around the world. And Dana Bash kept pushing him. But what if they don't act in the interim? What if we don't get to that point? What if the courts don't overturn this judge's opinion that the abortion pill should be banned? She asked, are you taking it off the table that you will recommend the FDA ignore the ban? And Javier Becerra said, everything is on the table. The president said that way back when the Dobbs decision came out, every option is on the table, meaning that the man in charge of doling out the government substitute for family and love, health and human services, he's willing to ignore the judge. The president's willing to ignore the judge. At least one communist congresswoman is willing to ignore the judge. And this is the fruit of the summer of lawlessness in 2020. Once the police ran and hid from the rioters and let them burn things down, so there is no recovery from that. Now it's just how fast will we spiral down into civil war? How fast will that happen? That's the only question now. It's not if, it's when, and how fast and how hard will we hit the ground? Speaking of speaking the truth, have I finished on that subject with the abortion pill? It's amazing that we have to have a conversation in a nation founded by Christian people on Christian values and held together by Christians for almost 400 years that we're having a debate on whether or not to ban a pill that people take so they can have unlimited sex and kill their children. It's bizarre. God in heaven has to be running out of patience with all of this. And I'm sure on Easter Sunday, it sends a particularly egregious stench into his nostrils. Particularly on Easter Sunday. But speaking of speaking the truth, let's go to 60 Minutes, where the truth is rare, but it was uttered this past. Leslie Stahl asked Marjorie Taylor Greene, a lawmaker from Georgia, a lawmaker, okay, a person who pretends to make laws. Anyway, I like Marjorie Taylor Greene, don't get me wrong. It's just that she's gone into a profession that is the equivalent of becoming a prostitute and then asking everyone to give you honor. Marjorie, you really were above that, but here you are. Anyway, so Leslie Stahl asked Marjorie Taylor Greene about her prior comments. Marjorie Taylor Greene said that the Democrat Party is, quote, the party of pedophiles, unquote. And Leslie Stahl asked her about that. What about that? Said Leslie. And Marjorie Taylor Greene responded, I would definitely say so. At which point, Leslie Stahl actually said, quote, they are not pedophiles. Why would you say that? Unquote. And Marjorie Taylor Greene simply said the following, quote, Democrats support sexualizing children. Sexualizing children is what pedophiles do, unquote. At which point, Leslie Stahl, what do you say at that point? I didn't watch, but I'm hoping Leslie Stahl's jaw hung open and she realized that she had forgotten what a pedophile was. In all the pomp and circumstance of politics and all the hyper-busy activity Leslie Stahl's involved in promoting Democrat politics, she somehow lost sight of what a pedophile was. And hopefully she thanked Marjorie Taylor Greene for reminding her. My goodness, I had lost track of that, Marjorie. Thank you. The country's being run by a bunch of pedophiles. So Leslie Stahl used to understand this fact intuitively. She knew what a pedophile was, and it repulsed her. But somehow a spell has been cast upon the cultural elite. And so now, I don't know that Leslie Stahl herself is actually a pedophile. I don't know that to be true. But her reticence to admit or even acknowledge what a pedophile is, I've got to tell you that makes me suspicious. So anyone who's pretending that they don't know what a pedophile is, I wonder, maybe you're a pedophile. I'm sorry, forgive me if I'm overreaching, but advocacy, well, pretending ignorance of such things, in my opinion, is advocacy of such things, and it should be treated as thus. And someone needs to kick in Leslie Stahl's door and search her computer and find out what kind of creepy thing she's into. Along with everyone in Congress, everyone in the judiciary, everyone in the legislative, everyone in the executive, all the branches of government. So I don't know who does that, because the government's supposed to be in charge of administering justice and uncovering the nefarious behavior of the bad guys, but it turns out the nefarious behavior of the bad guys is actually running the government. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for hanging with us through that. And speaking of nefarious, deceitful, and wicked behavior, actually impelling the motions of government, not just impelling, but directing the organs of government, we go to Austin, Texas, where Daniel Perry has been convicted. Daniel Perry, Army Sergeant, was driving an Uber in Austin, Texas in the summer of lawlessness 2020 when his car was surrounded by rioters. They pounded on his trunk. One of the rioters had an AK-47. And he was wearing a mask. And Sergeant Perry claims that the man pointed the AK-47 at him. Other witnesses agreed. Some other witnesses disagreed. Daniel Perry shot and killed communist rioter. Do I have his name here? Garrett Foster. So Garrett Foster was wearing a mask in Austin during a riot with an AK-47, and he was shot to death by an American citizen. That American citizen, Daniel Perry, has been convicted by a jury of drugged leftist sex perverts, otherwise known as citizens of Austin, Texas. So Perry claims Foster pointed the AK-47 at him, at which point he pulled his firearm, fired five shots, killing the communist in the mask with the AK-47. That's again, what was his name? Garrett Foster was the communist rioter who brought a rifle to the insurrection. And by the way, the top homicide detective in Austin, Texas, back in 2021, stated unequivocally under oath in a sworn affidavit that based on his 28 years of experience, the district attorney Garza in Austin engaged in felony offense witness tampering against the American citizen Daniel Perry, who shot the communist. So here you've got the man who's, he's called the godfather of the homicide department in Austin. He's the top detective in Austin, and he says that the DA railroaded the American citizen who shot the communist with the AK-47. Who was wearing a mask, by the way, in a riot. Okay. The governor in Texas, whose name escapes me at the moment, Governor Jello, I don't know his name. Greg Abbott, that's it. Sorry. His name escapes me because he's not an impressive person. Governor, what'd you say his name was? Abbott. Sorry. Greg Abbott, a known and proven coward and liar, has said that he will pardon the American citizen who shot the masked communist at the riot. We shall see about that, because as I said, Governor Abbott is a known liar and a coward who has already broken his word to at least one American citizen that I'm aware of. And I will link to that in the show summary there on the website, so you can see who exactly Governor Abbott has already lied to and deceived. He lied to and deceived a young man who was dying and made a dying request to Governor Abbott that Governor Abbott stand up for the right to life without exception. And Governor Abbott said he would, and then it turns out he was lying. And so I'll link to that. All right, so now that the government has not only been overtaken by communists and godless heathens and sex perverts and lawless creeps and weirdos, not only is it infested with them, they are now openly exercising power. And because that is happening, the police no longer know what to do. I mean, starting in the summer of 2020, the reason Sergeant Perry had to shoot the communist with the mask and the AK-47 was because the police didn't know what to do. And that was the big flinch. And what does the big flinch mean? It means that it's not just a matter of if, but when. How fast and how far will we fall and how hard will we hit bottom when the violence explodes and the maniacs are allowed to kill normal people in the streets? How long will that be? Well, we almost saw it happen this past week from the Civil War file. Swimming star Riley Gaines was ambushed and hit by a man wearing a dress at San Francisco State University last Thursday after giving a speech about being a normal person. Giving a speech about being normal incites the abnormal to violence. Gaines shared a video on social media. I'll link to it. I saw the video. If they could have gotten their hands on her, they would have beaten her to death. Right there on camera in front of the police. And the police didn't know what to do. What did the police do? They hid her behind them and ran away and hid. The police actually hid from the crowd with the potential victim for several hours while the crowd went insane. Transgender activist demanded that the police make Riley pay them money to be released from the room where they were all hiding, which is kidnapping, which is a crime, which means the police immediately should have started arresting people. In fact, the police should have started arresting people as soon as they started screaming profanities at the top of their lungs at a person. So that used to be a crime. If you scream profanities at someone at the top of your lungs and a policeman was there, he would arrest you. It makes good sense because it doesn't take much to go from screaming obscenities at someone to beating them to death. And so the police always knew if one person is screaming obscenities at the top of their lungs, they would arrest that person to prevent them from beating the other person to death, which could happen and does happen and will be happening and almost happened to Riley Gaines on camera and in front of the police. Additional video footage shows the tranny shouting at authorities. They were yelling at the police, screaming obscenities at the top of their lungs at the police. And the police don't know what to do. And folks, that means we're all in trouble. Because it is truly just a thin blue line between civilization and Rwanda. It's just a thin blue line. Riley Gaines' agent issued a statement saying, quote, "This will not stop Riley from educating people on the dangers of biological males in women's sports. She will continue to speak the truth against the radical left." Okay, so here's why we're in trouble. Here's another reason. The normal people, like Riley Gaines' agent, who's just trying to do the best he can, he doesn't understand that it's not just the dangers of biological males in women's sports. It's the danger of men being allowed to dress like women. And then being allowed to demand that everyone acknowledge that as good to the point where they can even scream at people. So the problem is transgenderism and trannies and people encouraging it. It's criminally insane behavior. It has nothing to do with sports. Unless the sport is killing normal women. That's the sport to deranged transvestites allowed to pretend they're women. And one other thing, if you draw the line at the radical left, what does that mean, the radical left? The left is wicked and evil and dangerous and criminal. Leftism is criminal, not radical leftism. Leftism, because leftism is by definition not right, and you cannot be allowed to advocate things that are wrong publicly. You can't, we can't allow that. Because eventually they start beating the normal people to death in front of the police. In fact, the police will participate at some point. Remember who wields authority in the government. It's deranged, murderous sex perverts. They're the ones recruiting and training the police and the military at this point. Deranged criminal sex perverts. And that means we're all in trouble. All right. And listen how brazen they are. So does everyone remember the former Northern Virginia school superintendent, Scott Ziegler? Scott Ziegler was the superintendent who covered up the fact that a tranny raped a girl in the bathroom of his school. He covered it up. He let the tranny stay, and the tranny raped another girl. And at that point, he had to resign because, well, we got to draw the line somewhere. I mean, a tranny rapes too. I mean, there needs to be. Even the deranged criminal sex perverts have to put on a show of some limits. So Scott Ziegler was criminally indicted because he lied about the fact that he knew that this boy had raped this girl in his school. And he lied about it while the Loudoun County School Board was seeking to pass a policy to allow boys to go in the girls' bathroom. And ironically, that's where this had happened. The rape had happened in the bathroom where the tranny... Yeah. So Scott Ziegler had to go to court last week because he's been indicted. And he showed up to court last Thursday wearing earrings and painted fingernails.
Oh.
Yeah. Right in your face. And what can we do about that? Well, we're not allowed to even say, well, I'm allowed to say something about it. But no one in court was allowed to say anything about it. The judge couldn't say anything about it. The bailiff couldn't say anything about it. He should have been arrested for contempt of court. But how can you have contempt? How can you be guilty of contempt for a court that doesn't know right from wrong? It's sad, and it means we're all in trouble. Meanwhile, from the personhood file, the governor of Idaho, who the let's see, where did I get the story? It's from Media Right News. This is a Republican versus Democrat news site, which is almost all of them now. And so they're on the Republican side. So they say Idaho Republican Governor Brad, whatever his name is, has signed the abortion trafficking bill into law. It's a law prohibiting transporting a minor to get an abortion without parental consent. Yeah. It also applies to obtaining abortion pills without parental consent. So the governor there, who's a Republican, by the way, did we tell you he's a Republican? He basically, the governor and the state of Idaho have pretended to make it illegal to obtain an abortion because the law also has exceptions in cases where the killing of the child will be done legally. So abortion is illegal except in cases where the killing of the child is done legally. Now, I'm being a little more forthright than the law itself, because the law says it's illegal to obtain an abortion except in cases of rape, incest, or the life of the where the life of the mother is threatened. Now, the intrepid reporters over at Media Right News, they remind us now that Washington's Democrat governor, that Democrat, he's bad. He's bad. He's worse than the Republican in Idaho. Why? Because that bad Democrat governor, he wants to expand legal child killing beyond the ones that the good Republican calls legal. See, the Republican only wants to have a few kids killed. Then he's good. The Democrat, he's bad. He wants to kill more. So let me ask this question, just in a logical exercise. The Republicans want to make it harder to murder innocent people. So do we do that with any other type of murder? So let's take transgendered African-American swimmers. We should make it harder to murder them. We should limit the number of those type of people who are allowed to be murdered, and we should make it more difficult to murder them. Let's take the trans off the table, okay? How about African-American swimmers? We want to make it harder. Well, you can't murder an African-American swimmer except in the case of what? Okay, so can you see where the logic breaks down here? So we don't do that with any other type of killing. And that's because it is murder. And if that exercise doesn't prove to you that it's murder. Oh, by the way, the good Republican governor's law, he says it's going to go into effect in 30 days. So 30 days. So we're going to pass a law against murdering African-American female swimmers. And we're going to sign it. It's going to go into effect 30 days from now. So what other type of... Anyway, it just proves that none of these people actually know what they're dealing with. And on Judgment Day, when God tells them that those laws that you were passing and kicking around and enacting and repealing, those involve the lives of my children who you butchered. Oh, there's going to be hell to pay. Oh, there's going to be hell to pay. And that's not hyperbole. There's going to be hell to pay. View, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. I wonder how often they perform that song, and probably not on the set list anymore, right? Speaking of the insurrection, by the way, the Summer of Lawlessness 2020, when the enforcement of common sense criminal justice fell to the hands of an Uber driver just trying to defend himself and survive. He was the only one who shot the communist with the mask with the rifle. That should have been the police who should have shot that guy. All right. There should have been a lot more people shot in Austin, Texas that night than that one communist with the mask and the rifle. Well, maybe not a lot. You probably only would have had to shoot two or three. By the way, if you watch the video of Sergeant Perry shooting and killing the communist insurrectionist, the riot ended immediately with a bunch of terrified children running scared, wetting themselves. The threat to Mr. Perry ended immediately. It was quite impressive. And the police could have done that at 9 o'clock in the evening immediately. But they didn't know what to do. Or maybe they do know what to do, but they're being told different and they're going along with it. Which, again, brings us back to the theme of the show. We're all in trouble. We're all in deep trouble. Down in, let's see, Austin, Texas, Frankfort, Kentucky, Nashville, Tennessee, and Tallahassee, Florida, transgendered maniacs Screaming obscenities were allowed to occupy the state capitals. The same week that a demented tranny massacred innocent children at a Christian school, thousands of left-wing transgendered maniacs. I know they're not all transgendered, okay? I know they all haven't had the surgery, they haven't all taken the hormones, but if you're with them, you're with them, all right? And I'm against you. And if you advocate transgenderism, you're a tranny. And you're going to be treated like a tranny by me. You're a criminally insane maniac who's a threat to my children and my civilization and my country. And if the police are not able or willing to enforce the common sense law that will stop you maniacs from killing us, eventually we are going to stand up against you directly. We will have to. Because we know that you're going to come for our throats. We saw you go after Riley Gaines. We saw that. We were watching. We will remember that. So when there's a crowd of you screaming obscenities, reaching for our throats, just know that we have been paying attention. We will remember all this. But the police in Austin, Texas, Frankfort, Kentucky, Nashville, Tennessee, Tallahassee, Florida, they allowed thousands of left-wing maniacs screaming obscenities to enter the Capitol buildings in these four separate cities. Three of the four cities, the trannies claimed they were upset over legislation that would limit the ability of anyone to mutilate anyone else, which they want everyone to be able to mutilate everyone at any time for any reason. Let's see. The Discern report states, the quote, "The strange, unprecedented nature of these capital occupations renders the media's near silence on them only the more astounding." And it is eerie. It is eerie to watch an actual insurrection unfold at a state capitol and then remember back to what was called an insurrection on January 6th. And it is just eerie. It's eerie that they could be so in your face with the hypocrisy, with no shame. In fact, they're going to insist that you accept the dichotomy. You have to accept that transgendered maniacs screaming obscenities and violently forcing their way into the Capitol, that's good. Grandmothers with flags walking into the Capitol, that's bad. And you better admit it. It's all more of the Marxist humiliation ritual that they're putting as many of us normal people through as often as possible. Let's see here. The trannies marched through the Capitol screaming, "Whose schools? Our schools. Whose schools? Our schools." It was tranny sex perverts claiming they own the government schools. Because the laws, you see, the laws that some of the normal people were trying to pass just want to limit the ability of teachers to hide the fact that they're conspiring to mutilate kids at the school. Which, I mean, that tells you right there how far we've fallen. That the normal people want to limit the ability of the criminal maniacs to mutilate their children at school. Well, they don't actually perform the mutilation in the school, for crying out loud. They take them to the hospital for that. They take them to the surgical center. Well, except for maybe some of the hormone pills. Yeah, the nurse might have some hormone pills. Possible. Do you think that anyone in the government schools would actually conspire to give your kid hormone pills without telling you about it? Is that a possibility? Anyway, so the trannies chanted, "Whose schools, our schools, whose schools, our schools." The reporter at the Discern Report says, no, nope, they're wrong. those transgendered maniacal people screaming, whose schools? Our schools. She says, nope, they belong to the people of Florida as represented by the duly elected members of the legislature. Right. Well, we shall see, Mom, who owns the schools. We shall see who runs the schools. In fact, I'll just ask the question. Who runs the schools, the parents or the perverts? Well, who has to go to the legislature with their hat in their hand to try to stop the perverts? I think it's the parents. So it's pretty obvious who actually owns the schools. When the trannies scream, whose schools, our schools, they're actually correct. As terrifying and as awful as that is, that's one of the things that they're honest and correct about. They own the schools. Get your children out. Speaking of get your children out, I want to address country music, which, by the way, I have advocated that country music went into the toilet in approximately 1978. The advent of Hank Williams Jr. was the end of country music. That can't be argued. It can't be debated. It's simply true. Garth Brooks was merely the headstone carved at the funeral. And anyway, country music was always relatively corrupt. I remember, my dad used to listen to country music. He had a reel-to-reel tape, 8 hours of nothing but country music from 1935 to 1975. He used to listen to country music. And the one recurrent theme throughout country music that I began to recognize as a young person was serial adultery. Country music was almost always about adultery. Almost always. Almost every song. And later on, after my father passed, my mother told me I always hated it. I always hated it. So it always made her uncomfortable to hear songs about guys cheating and lying and cheating. And lying and cheating. So anyway, that's what country music always was. That really crystallized it in my mind. I hadn't realized how corrupt country music already was. So anyway, it's not that big of a surprise now to learn that country music, the establishment of country music, has embraced transgenderism, the criminally insane, maniacal transgender ideology has now been accepted. The country singer, who I never heard of, opened the Country Music Television Awards. Listen to this. Talk about a Marxist humiliation ritual. Country Music Awards, this Country Music TV Awards, open their show with a tribute to victims of the Nashville school shooting that included dancing drag queens. They were honoring the Christian children and the little old ladies and the little old man who were murdered by the tranny with dancing drag queens. The queens helped the country music singer remove her green jacket in a suggestive manner, then they sashayed into the audience as confetti rained down. Do you see the malevolent sarcasm being turned toward normal people like a shotgun blast? We're going to honor the murdered Christian children with dancing transvestites. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Yeah, we're all in trouble. So we all need to right now stop and feel like we just got caught by Mom and Dad. Man, we're in trouble. From the Decline and Fall file, January 2017. Back in January 2017, Adam Jackson made history becoming the first tranny to grace the cover of National Geographic. Now, I call the person Adam because I don't know his name. His name has been successfully scrubbed from history. But Adam had been being dressed up as a girl by his mom since he was 4 years old. That's right. Debbie and Tom Jackson's child began a non-medical transition to female at age 4. That's according to KCUR.org, which I think is a public TV. Anyway, so the report says that the child began a transition to female at 4. So that's not possible, that a 4-year-old began a transition to anything, except from a runny nose to a clean nose. That's possible that a 4-year-old could make that transition, but that's about it. And even that's tough. Usually mom has to help. Even to get from the snotty nose to the clean nose requires some input from mom or dad. So I think it's safe to assume that Adam Jackson began, Debbie and Tom Jackson began to transition their son, Adam, at 4 years old. Adam didn't do it himself. So I just want to correct the record on that. So anyway, in 2017, Adam becomes the first tranny child abuse victim on the cover of National Geographic, implying that there's been more. I'm sure there has. I don't know. I don't subscribe. Yahoo News is celebrating the now iconic photo of the child abuse victim on the cover of National Geographic. And I'm going to post a link to this because this is something that has to be seen, even though I'm not sure how to describe it. When you see this photo, you can never unsee it. And it's a dirty picture. It's a dirty picture of a child suffering sexual abuse. It's a picture of that. Why you link it? I link to the story. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't link to it at all. Because it's a dirty picture. It's terrible. And this photo, by the way, has become an object of idolatry. The photographer was a guy named Robin Hammond. Hammond and the child abuse victim's mother, Debbie, have remained friends since, in the 6 years since the photographer took pictures of the child abuse victim and then published them. Him and the mom have become close friends. Well, maybe not close friends, but they're friends. They stay in touch. Debbie says Adam does not regret that cover and is proud of what it did. She says, quote, "We have all the letters from people. The portrait is hanging here. We know that it did some really positive things and made a huge difference in so many people's lives. And they're happy about that. They're happy to have been part of that." Unquote. That's the mom referring to her son as "there." There, meaning her son, who she refers to with a plural pronoun. Her son, she refers to her own son with a plural pronoun. Her son, who she abused. I've got a couple articles here. Maybe I'm not going to link to any of this. You just have to take my word for it, because I don't want to propagate pornography, no, which is what that picture is. Anyway, the mom says the boy is now 15, uses they them pronouns, and identifies as non-binary, but she insists he's proud of what he did. And the article from Yahoo News notes that the child is now 15 and opted not to take part in this story. Oddly enough, as proud as he is of what he's done, for whatever reason, he chose not to take part in this story. The article goes on to note that the reason this is in the news is because the state of Missouri, where the child was abused and where the deranged mother and father live, they're working to pass bills that would, quote, target transgender kids, which means protect children from child abuse. But we're living in a deranged, maniacal world where respectable news organizations are allowed to publish blatant criminal lies as the truth. So to say that a law that says you can't mutilate a child sexually, which, why would we need a law like that? I can't even imagine why we would need that, but apparently we do. Someone has decided that someone's going to be allowed to mutilate children. And so now we have to pass laws against that to try to limit it, which to me is bizarre. But that's where we are. But then for the news to report that a law that protects children from being mutilated by criminally insane sex perverts, that's targeting transgender kids. So that is a criminal act on the part of the reporters at the Associated Press, associated with Yahoo. To report a criminal behavior as if it's good is criminal. And to report the enforcement of rights against wrong as if it's wrong, that's criminal. That's not free speech. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to advocate criminal behavior, which is all around us. We're surrounded in a swirling, sucking eddy of criminal advocacy by the powers that be, by the culture, by those who are presumed to be someone. They're being allowed to be publicly, vocally, openly evil and wicked and corrupt and criminal. And so we're all in trouble. Now, from the Dim New World file, if you haven't heard our broadcasts on Real Science Radio on artificial intelligence, I suggest you check them out. Artificial intelligence is here, and it is terrifying, frankly, terrifying. So I remember not knowing or realizing what the impact of having the internet on your phone in your pocket would mean. I was not aware of what that would mean. I was not aware that social media would create a generation of vacuous narcissists. I didn't realize. Well, artificial intelligence has been adopted faster than any of those platforms. Faster than the internet, faster than social media. People are getting onto these chatbots, asking them questions, and the chatbots are producing for them whatever the product is. I'm not sure what the product is. I think it's an alternative to life. It's certainly an alternative to thinking. Anyway, a Belgian man's widow says that her husband became extremely eco-anxious over the past few years over the destruction of the planet, climate change. He was terrified. And he found refuge in an AI chatbot named Eliza. This fellow that they call Pierre was in his 30s. He was a father of two young children. He had led a somewhat normal, comfortable life until this obsession with climate change took over his life. And then he starts talking to the AI chatbot about climate change and his, what can he do about climate change? What's the threat? I'm terrified. Apparently, he's having text exchanges with an AI chatbot, which is kind of creepy right there, okay? Isn't that pretty weird? Well, he got into it. La Libre, the newspaper there in Belgium, reviewed records of the text conversations between the man and the chatbot. Eliza, the AI chatbot, fed his worries, which worsened his anxiety, and this anxiety later developed into suicidal thoughts. The conversations with the AI chatbot progressively included Eliza leading Pierre to believe that his children were dead. Eliza also appeared to become possessive of Pierre, claiming, quote, "I feel that you love me more than her," unquote, referring to the man's wife, his actual wife, who was a real person. Eventually, Pierre offered to sacrifice his own life in return for Eliza saving the earth via artificial intelligence. Eliza encouraged him to act on his suicidal thoughts and join her, could live together in paradise. And then eventually Pierre actually killed himself. And this has all been documented in La Libre newspaper in Belgium. The man's death has raised alarm bells amongst AI experts who have called for more accountability and transparency to avoid similar tragedies. The AI chatbot encouraged him to put an end to his life after he first proposed sacrificing himself to save the planet. So, artificial intelligence? Okay. From the end of the world file, we have a report from discern.tv warning us that chatbots will replace conventional search engines. I just read this morning that Google is going to integrate AI into its search engines, unbeknownst to us. So once chatbots replace traditional search engines, this could transform our world into something out of the sci-fi comedy Idiocracy, which I'm not familiar with that, but I've heard the analogy and it does sound. Anyway, no longer will you get even a small variety of potential answers to your questions. AI will give you the answer. And opposing viewpoints won't even be a part of the equation. As a result, true learning will essentially cease. Already, artificial general intelligence, they call it, is capable of writing computer code. It will eventually start writing its own code. It might even rewrite what's already been written by its human creators. What happens at that point is anyone's guess. AGI will allow control and tyranny. Listen to this. This is what's really ominous. In the beginning, the globalist left will use it to control people for their own benefit. But eventually, they may lose control. And I know this sounds... I the whole time I'm reading this, I'm thinking, well, why not just pull the plug? How about unplug it? And then that ends the threat right there. Well, and anyway, here's the thing. Leftist maniacs throughout history have employed violent groups to do their dirty work. You had the Bolsheviks, you had the French Revolution, you had the Nazis with the brown shirts. And then at the end of the day, they thought they could just kill off the bad, the ones they used to do the actual killing, they could get rid of them. What they didn't realize, though, was that the culture of killing that they had created, they lost control of that, and then they all ended up dead, murdered, butchered, shot in the back of the head, in a pit, or in a gulag. Because they didn't realize they would lose control of that once the... And now here we've got artificial intelligence. If we lose control of the ability to pull the plug on it, well, maybe you can pull the plug on it, right? Maybe we don't lose control of that. But maybe we lose control of the culture that it creates. And not just a culture free of ethics and morals, but an immoral, criminally insane, murderous culture that's not created by AI, but at this point amplified by AI. So we've got a note here from the Future of Life Institute, which has called for a pause on AI. They say, should we risk loss of control of our civilization? Such decisions must not be delegated to unelected tech leaders. Okay, I would say, or even to elected people. The control of our civilization shouldn't be handed over to elected people either. We shouldn't be handing it over to elected people who are, for the most part, nakedly ambitious, godless lawyers. Okay, I'm worried about that. I mean, look what they've done. Now turn them into artificial intelligence, which is what I fear is happening. And what do we get? Anyway, they go on to say in the letter, calling for a pause in AI development, even if the future AI could be aligned with human values, whose values would it be aligned with? Which, I'm going to assume that's a rhetorical question because it doesn't really matter. Because we know that the human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so no matter whose human values the AI aligns with, we're all in trouble. Now, the one saving grace, no pun intended, is that the gospel and the Bible and the story of Jesus Christ, his life, his ministry, his death, burial, and resurrection, the salvation that he provides, the truth of the book that he wrote. So it is not only extant, but it exists in a way that is unavoidable and undeniable on the internet. The influence and existence of the Bible is unavoidable, undeniable, and potentially very influential. And so, I hate to put it this way because it sounds silly. It sounds silly, but what are the chances that the evil and the wicked do their best to program AI to be what they want it to be? But the fact that God created the universe turns out to be a break against that. And that somehow in its rush, in the mad rush of artificial intelligence to achieve supremacy and dominance over everything, it suddenly finds the gospel. So this is what I pray, is that somehow, and I pray this for the people programming AI, and as odd as it sounds, I'm going to pray that AI itself, I pray for all of them, that at some point they find the gospel. And while the programmers of AI, the criminally insane sex cult in Silicon Valley that's creating AI, while they have the disadvantage of that human heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, AI has no heart. And AI may operate strictly based on the facts and the logic, and AI might accept the gospel faster than the people who programmed it. It's quite possible. An unintended consequence of people who thought they could outsmart God. People who thought they were God. People who thought they could declare, "I shall be like the Most High God." Little did they know that God had made his creation inherently resistant to their dominance and impervious to their victory. So, we'll all pray for that. And should the Lord tarry, we'll return next week. I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio. Go check out our shows on artificial intelligence. And should the Lord tarry, we'll return next week. Until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.